Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with David Lopez, the president and CEO, and Julia Bogoslawski, the vice president of marketing for the gaming equipment manufacturer AGS, on how the company is doing things differently for its customers. The GGB podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos. Don't you realize it's hard to dream without your helping hand to guide me? When AGS was bought by the Apollo Investment Group, the same group that owns Caesars Entertainment, things changed dramatically. David Lopez was brought on to lead the innovative manufacturer and build a team to take it to the next level. Immediately after taking over, AGS bought the Cadillac Jack Class II company, hired former Shuffle Master and Bally marketing executive Julia Bogoslawski, and launched a table game division that today is creating some interesting and successful products. At the recent Game On conference produced by AGS, the company outlined its past, present, and future. Lopez and Bogoslawski sat down with me and GGB editor Frank Legato in early June to talk about the conference and the company. Julie and David, thanks for joining us on the podcast, and thanks for inviting us to this great conference. We've had such a wonderful time here at MGM National Harbor. You guys put on a great show, so thanks for inviting us.
Good deal. Thanks.
Dave, when you came on in 2014, you know, there were a lot of opportunities here, but you had to really pick and choose what you were going to do. How did you convince Apollo that this path that you've taken has been the correct one?
I think the convincing wasn't any, it wasn't terribly difficult because from Apollo's perspective, they already knew what they wanted to do, right? So prior to hiring me, and actually prior to the deal being done, they were interviewing me, and we both had the same perspective on what should happen with a company like this. It wasn't necessarily AGS. It was a philosophical conversation about the space, that there would be some opportunities to consolidate smaller companies, not necessarily, you know, behemoths, but there was opportunity to consolidate some smaller companies, like an AGS, pick up some maybe patents in the table area, in the shuffler area, something like that. So we could attack, like, the table space, the utility space, combine a couple of smaller slot companies. But the key that Apollo agreed to is no matter what we invested in, what they put their money behind, is that people were going to be the key. So that's we were on the same page from the beginning.
Okay, great.
They really wanted to push being a diverse supplier. And that's still kind of what the theme is today.
Without a doubt, yeah.
So you came up with basically three pillars of the game, slot machines, table games, interactive, that you've developed. Were all of these on your radar at the outset?
I don't think it was specific. You know, we had a lot of conversations sort of prior to me joining because that was a bit of a long courting period. So we had a lot of conversations about maybe what could be done. And we didn't want to get into the specifics because I hadn't signed yet and you know, stuff like that. But it was fun because I think that there's a lot of opportunities in the space. There's probably opportunities today. We're very comfortable with where we're at today. With the acquisitions we've done and having them integrated and behind us and a lot of that integration risk behind us. But there's really, I don't want to say endless opportunities, but there's numerous opportunities in the supply space to acquire, consolidate, you know, merge companies and be effective at it. It's obviously integration is the key. Even integrating small companies is difficult. So the conversations were good. They were robust. They were detailed. But we didn't really say, oh, we're going to do interactive tables, slots. We just said, we know we're going to do slots. Let's look and see where the best opportunities are elsewhere.
Right.
And you've gotten the support of your parent company in going after all of these various areas.
Yeah. So from the very beginning, David Samber at Apollo has been, he thinks a lot like we do. It's not very often that we look at a company, and if we're sort of on the no side of it, he's usually on the no side of it too.
Sure.
If we're on the yes side of it, he's on the yes side of it too as well. So we've been fortunate to work with him. I think he's, you know, young, brilliant guy that, you know, is really aggressive, works hard, and he's got a pretty good track record. Mm-hmm.
And I think there was some comfort level, too, that David had spent so much time at Shuffle Master and
right.
really understood the table space.
Sure.
So that can give, you know, them a vote of confidence that they, right. we know that we do know this area very well, we know this business, and David had been there during some of the most critical
right.
years
sure.
of growth.
Now, one of the first things you realized, of course, you inherited a slot machine company, but you know, basically the games were, you know, premium kind of style games. You realized right away you needed a core mm-hmm. game. Is that how you came upon Cadillac Jack? Is that what attracted you to Cadillac Jack?
So, obviously it took us a little bit of time. So the first thing we did was we were sort of looking to... We were looking for opportunities at first, right? So the first thing we saw was that we had a relationship with C2 or Colossal Gaming, Steve Weiss's company. And Steve's really, you know, brilliant like,
sure.
inventor of unique,
mm-hmm.
you know, gaming,
right.
you know, machines and technology. And so, you know, talking to Steve was really interesting. We understood... Like, we might have a real opportunity here to partner with him or to acquire the company. So we went the acquisition route there very quickly after Apollo acquired AGS. So that was our first real move.
Right.
As we wanted something to sort of just put our name on
sure.
that we thought would be successful. So we believed in what Steve had made there, and we believed in that product, Big Red, Colossal Diamonds. And I think that we did a nice job rolling that product out because not a lot of people knew who AGS was. So the Cadillac Jack thing came later on where we really knew that eventually it wasn't just a core cabinet thing. It's that we needed to become a more robust R&D organization. And that was a really prime
sure,
opportunity
right.
there.
Yeah. Right. No question. Now, you then you got into table games. That's only, what, 3 years old now. John Hamburger's done a great job of putting that out there. What's your vision for that division?
So, yeah, I guess it's been, has it been 3 years? It's all, yeah, just about
yes.
been 3 years.
Yeah.
yeah, so, again, we started with a blank sheet of paper there.
Mm-hmm.
And as I always like to joke, you know, when John sat in his office the first day, it looked a lot like this table.
Yeah.
There was nothing on his desk.
Right.
There's clearly no emails on his computer other than, you know, that there's donuts on Friday or something like that. And we're staring at each other going, okay, so what's next? And he's done a fantastic job of really strategically putting together a company, whether it's organic, you know, games that we've developed internally through a guy named Ophir Ventura, or whether it's acquiring technologies outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time. If you look at any of these table game companies, getting to where we are takes time. We've
sure.
sort of turbocharged that, and we've cut down the time probably from around 5 to 3 years to get where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the excitement looking forward for tables is really centers around Bonus Spin and some of our, you know, utility. Like if you look at utility products like the Shuffler, those products present real opportunities for the
mm-hmm.
company going forward.
And we were really committed, I think, to being diversified also
yeah.
in content. So it's one thing that AGS does well. We have the diversified
sure.
product categories. But within the categories now, we're offering more diversity in the content.
Mm-hmm.
So for slots, for example, premium, core games.
Sure.
But in tables, if you look at that portfolio of products, there's over 25 different types of products, poker derivatives, side bets, blackjack games,
mm-hmm.
Bonus Spin technology, table signage.
Right.
And then, like, table equipment. So
utility.
Yeah, utility, exactly. So now that's part of the goal, too, is to be able to be
mm-hmm.
sort of full service on the table side and have something.
Right. Do you think there's a real opportunity on the table? Obviously you do, but it, just because, you know, your old company, Shuffle Master, got gobbled up first by Bally and then by Scientific Games, so, you know, it was always the 800-pound gorilla in the table game market, but now it's kind of hidden in a huge company, yeah?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I look at companies like Cygames or what we'll call Cygames Bally Shuffle, but you look at the table segment there, and I don't know that when we think about the table division or the Shuffler division that we're just... you know, directly trying to just get out there and compete with them.
Yeah.
I just think that there's an opportunity for competition in this place.
Yeah, sure.
I think that when you look at the table side, it's consolidated a little bit more with their acquisition of DEQ, so there's not a lot of major players in that
right.
in that segment. And then you look at the utility side, and there's really just shuffle or side games.
Right.
So I think the opportunity is really just for another player in the space.
More options.
Yeah, I don't know that I view them as. I mean, those acquisitions probably actually help out a little bit, but I think just by and large, when I look at it, I think it's time and there's a place for a competitor.
Okay.
We came from that. We know how good the games are.
Of course,
technology. Yep. Right. We always will think that. But as David said, more options.
It takes time. Yeah. I mean, the good news is we have a great core business mm-hmm. in the slot division. So we don't need to rush the table game division, although I think you'll see it continue to sort of, grow pretty good here in the next couple of years.
Well, you have a really interesting shuffler in the Dexas shuffler. How much of that, what you learned at Shuffle Master did you put into that?
Me, probably nothing. So I think again, that's John's baby there.
Yeah.
And we've got some good people working for John. I don't really work directly on the shuffler. And we have a couple good employees that we picked up along the way mm-hmm. that are real experts in the space.
Sure,
so
right.
we're letting them do their thing again with the shuffler. What I do know and what we will deploy, and John knows it as well because he's been around for it, is we'll release that unit when it's ready.
Yeah.
So if that's tomorrow or if that's 90 days from now mm-hmm. or 120 days from now, we'll make sure that when we release it, it's the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go out there and sort of, probe the market with an alpha trial, see what happens, see what we like and don't like about it, and we'll come back, have a discussion, determine when we actually do a launch.
Okay, great.
Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGamingPlayer uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks and mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing.
Let's talk about Interactive. We were sitting with Brian and Matt Cullen last night, and both talented guys. Explain how that came about, the Rocket Play purchase, and where you're going with that division.
So that was probably more driven by Apollo.
Uh-huh.
They want, if you think about it indirectly, they owned Caesars Interactive.
Right.
So they understood the space. They liked the space. They continue to like the space. For us, we basically started scrubbing and looking for companies, and Rocket Play was really special to us because the people were honest and they were very transparent. We didn't feel like when we were interviewing them versus every other company we talked to, like we were being sold anything, that wasn't there.
Sure,
they were very direct. We had good references outside of Rocket Play that their platform, their technology was great, and that they were doing a great job in that space. So we were confident that was the right deal for us. So we're sort of on the right path now. We're pretty much a break-even business on that right now. That said, we do get a lot of brick-and-mortar business out of it.
Right.
So if we sort of added that back, we're actually EBITDA positive. And in addition to that, we're beginning to charge down the B2B space and white labeling the product for people as well. So there's opportunities. There's a little bit of B2B. We can explore real money gaming outside the country.
Sure.
We'll see how it goes. But we see a couple more opportunities to sort of make some more money.
So you are focused on just the B2B. You're not competing with your customers as some of the other slot manufacturers.
Yeah, we don't have any plans to do that, in North America where we do business.
Sure, right.
In Europe where, we essentially don't have a footprint,
mm-hmm.
We might explore that real money gaming aspect. But we're pretty small at the end of the day, and quite honestly, I think most of our opportunity will either lie in B2B social or even some B2B partnering on real money games.
Sure. Right.
So if we were to do something, we might be partnering with some of our customers.
Okay.
There, so.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So
You mentioned yesterday how focused you are on what you're doing, and you don't want to get distracted by other things. Do things like skill gaming get you distracted? Are you just going to watch what other companies do for a while with that?
Julia probably wants to answer that one for me, but I don't get distracted by it. it's not going to distract us. I think that what we do is we monitor the market.
Uh-huh.
We want to understand what's going on. We've got a lot of friends in that space.
Sure.
As you saw, we invited...
yesterday on the panel. Yes, Seth from last
year. Yes, we invited a few different people from last, one person from last year, a couple new people that are in that space, and they sort of, they're competing in that space. So we're around them, we stay close to them, we want to understand what's going on, but we're super focused on what we're doing well right now.
Great.
We have to be. I think we're our size.
Sure.
We can't be overly distracted and dabble in different things. We have to focus on what we do well and say this is the market that we're going after. But we all always have felt that our table game business is sort of our skill-based play.
Sure.
Because
our
games do have that skill element, and with things like bonus spin, we believe that gives us an opportunity to target a younger generation.
Yeah.
But we monitor, as David said, and that's the point of even at this conference, having the conversations, because we know that they're relevant and interesting for operators.
Yep.
But I think one of the key words we picked up yesterday was patience. patience. So I think there's still a long ways to go as that sort of gets refined, and we'll keep our eye on it.
Yeah, we're not operators, but I was talking to a pretty good friend in the space a couple weeks ago, and you know, one of the things we were sort of collectively having a conversation about this, you know, skill-based or millennials or, you know, however you want to frame it up. But, you know, I think we think alike in the fact that we believe for you know, Class 3 casinos and maybe some tribal casinos as well, there's an opportunity to really use technology to increase and sort of sharpen their slot business.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that... that if you really want to make a difference with the younger group, draw them to the table games.
Right.
It's a natural place for them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, the sports book is a lively place for youth.
Mm-hmm.
And Europe is really doing a lot of special things there. And I think that if we can, you know, sort of transplant some of that technology and that belief and that philosophy in America, we might actually see those millennials don't have to do too many things that are way off the beaten path. They might just play table games with things like bonus spin and some other things, but they might also jump into the sports book and have a lot of fun there.
Sure, no question.
How is that being received, by the way, the bonus spin product in the market so far?
It's actually been a great, right out the gate. We've got a couple of very big customers, actually, that have taken some pretty big installations lately.
Yep.
I think there is a lot of appeal with having this virtual wheel that creates this additional excitement at the game and allows the operators, as you heard John mention yesterday, to be able to customize that wheel with their own unique experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the team was looking at this product and they were saying, "What you know, how do we create this compelling experience in the pit?" The team was really looking at the dynamic of craps. That's something we always look at is, how do you take that? If you look at a craps table, that is such a social and interactive and very fun game. And people are high-fiving, right? Because there's this opportunity where, hey, we can win. We winning together, and, okay, there's ups and there's downs. And bonus spin has a lot of that capability with the wheel and being able to have prizes sort of for the
table. And increases the hold, too, as one of the presentations yesterday
mentioned. Yeah. Oh, yeah, which is always
a good way to
biggest. That's always, the most important aspect.
Yeah, no
but,
question.
Yeah, and it's in the graphics now are really clean. It looks really good. I think that's what we showed at G2E was sort of the revised and enhanced bonus spin white label. And so now right out the gate, we've gotten such great customer feedback, and we've got a number of pretty big properties. So.
Great. So what is your policy on the major licensed brands? I know you've done a couple of those in the past. Is that something you're looking at and considering at this point?
So just at the moment, no. You know, we think that the most successful games in the space are just good core or premium games that aren't licensed.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look across, you know, all the companies, if you really look at what's performing and what's setting records and what's doing fantastic, it's not the licensed games.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're very expensive. It's a lower margin game. They sometimes just tend to be very entertainment focused. I think that some companies have done a good job out there with taking some of those entertainment type games, making them more of a core gambler game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a little bit of longer legs in some products from Aristocrat and folks that. So I think they've done a nice job. I think they've sort of broken the mold a little bit away from quick burners, entertainment games, and being more of a core gambler game. So I think they've done a nice job of that. But for us right now, I think that we've got plenty of momentum with the with the type of games that we do right now.
You know, one of the things I've really enjoyed at this event was getting to know all the people in the company. I mean, we've known you guys, you know, we've known Andrew for a while, but you know, I've met a lot of some of your game developers, some of the other guys, and I can really sense this corporate culture here that it's growing and really is strong. And I feel that it's different than any other, you know, manufacturer that I've been around. So give us a little of your philosophy on what you're building here.
We're very proud of that.
Yeah.
David won't brag about himself, so I will brag about him. But, you know, since David came in, obviously, there's been a tremendous sort of overhaul in the culture, and that always happens when you have new leadership at the top. But David has really built a place where people want to come to work, and they want to win for AGS.
Right.
And the relief, and you can tell, and it's very genuine, and it's very authentic. Mm-hmm. I would call it a very politics-free zone, which is very refreshing for a lot of people. We've kind of had no issue recruiting because people know there's this buzz around AGS, and David really, you know, he talks the talk but walks the walk.
Right.
And so when you show up to work, we have to work really hard, but it's a very playful culture. So it's a place that you come in, you know you're going to work hard, you're going to be able to, you know, have a lot of laughs during the day, and that there's a lot of things that are very employee-focused. That's very important. To David and to the executive team as a whole is to really take care of employees. And I think we've got a good culture, again, of being focused and nimble and accessible. David mentioned those things yesterday on the slide. That has helped us so much with customers. It's also a refreshing work environment for so many of our team that feels very empowered in their jobs.
Right.
Empowered. You don't have to go through so much red tape, and you have to cover your ass on things.
Right.
I always say that. It's, you be empowered to make good decisions and act fast. Mm-hmm. You own your area. And people have a real sense of pride at AGS in what they do in the areas they oversee.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's Sniff. We believe, you know, you got to believe in people first, right?
Right, sure.
And then you got to believe in one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to believe in the products.
Right.
And if we can do those things, then our customers will sense that. And I agree, you know, the politics don't do anything for companies. And I mentioned the other day during my discussion that we spent a lot of time, you know, just, you know, researching one of our most recent senior executives to the point where he was probably frustrated with us. We spend a lot of time on HR. We just hired a new HR VP. You know, we spend a lot of time on recruiting, on retention. And once people are in the door, we want them to feel like they have accessibility to everyone.
Sure.
And we want them to know that they like, go hard and it's okay to make mistakes, right? But the other thing is that I think it's the sort of open culture where criticism's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the key to that is for people like Julia and our CFO and me and some other very senior sort of folks in the C-suite to be able to be openly criticized in any environment by anyone.
Right.
And if she can allow that,
then
her people almost have to embrace that.
Right.
And if I can allow it, then, you know, my folks will embrace it because, well, if David lets anybody tell him he's crazy or a complete clown, and that's the worst idea we've ever heard, then we can all be very authentic with one another and very open one with another, say some very sharp things in a meeting, and then go off and still do our thing or go to lunch or do whatever we do, right?
Sure, great.
And because there isn't that, it's not an ego-based culture, you know that when you're getting feedback, and David, who often criticizes me, I'll say, you know that it's like what I would call tough love, right?
Sure.
So it's, I'm going to tell you some things to make you better and to make the area better. And you know that I'm telling you these things, it doesn't mean that you're fired now that you know, or anything like that. It means we're going to build it, we're going to get better, we're going to have always continuous improvement mindset, and that's okay. We want to pass that along to our teams too. Then it works both ways also. Your employees, you know, can have good feedback to their managers. They should often. and vice versa. Right. So it's that area you feel like, you know, there's not repercussions for being able to be honest, as long as, you know, you do it in the right way. Right. David, definitely.
If you were to summarize it, I think our new VP of HR said this after going to Atlanta. She said, I've never seen a corporate culture where so many executives at such a in their positions in the C-suite obsess over employees, culture,
right,
recruiting, and retention. I mean, she said she's never seen anything like it in her life.
Mm. Interesting.
You just brought in
and if she didn't say that, I just put really good words in her mouth, right?
Along the team building lines. And Matt Reback was in marketing for years. You brought him in a different role. Can you describe what his role is now?
So Matt's got diverse experience, right? So, we forgive him that he used to be a lawyer. So Matt had marketing experience. And then Matt was a product guy, right? And also sandwiched in there, he was an operator.
Mm-hmm.
So really, Matt is a very sharp mind, but he's an operator and a product guy with good sort of marketing angles and good marketing experience. So he is like sort of like a baseball player that can do a lot of things, right? We just happen to choose one of those things. And on top of that, he's sort of expanding his horizons now into operations, where he actually handles production and service and ops.
Yeah.
And he's dove in headfirst there, and he's had good results. So
great. Well, I know you got to kick the thing off in a minute, so just one more question: what do you feel the biggest strengths of AGS are going forward, and where do you see this company going in the next 5 years?
I think ultimately our strengths probably center around obviously people.
Sure.
It's like we've been talking about: it's people, culture, it's product. Mm-hmm. So if you look at product behind product, it's our development, and it's our commitment to it, and it's the fact that our ownership's been committed to it, our team's been committed to it, and even every year when you start to budget, everyone wants an extra buck, especially marketing. We know that the place to invest and the place to take our shots.
Mm-hmm.
Is an R&D.
Right.
And we also know that we need to be focused not just on games, but on games, platform, and hardware, or the cabinetry. We think that that is sort of our path to success. Mm-hmm. And so far, if you look post-acquisition, we released the Icon cabinet, which was already in development, and Orion was largely in development as well and finished. But the focus of that development team in those areas, if you see the returns on that right now, it's gone very well for us. So I think our strengths are in those areas. I think it's our people. I think it's our products. I think it's our culture. But I think it's our development. And we're willing to, as an owned by Apollo, we're willing to take shots.
Mm-hmm.
And
As
Alan Iverson would say, you have to shoot them to make them. Right? You can't score if you don't shoot.
Okay.
We don't do any interviews without an Alan Iverson reference for Julian.
Yes.
Great. Well, thanks for the time. We appreciate it, and we really appreciate you inviting us to this event, because it's really opened my eyes to what a great company you guys have, and good luck in the future.
We appreciate
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah,
we'll see you later.
Enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast, sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.